In today's podcast, I am reading from Hosea chapter 7 and verse 16. They return, but not to the Most High. They are like a deceitful bow. For as long as sin has been in this world, there has always been the presence of what we might call counterfeit religion. We can think at the very beginning of Cain and Abel, and we see how there was an acceptable sacrifice that was brought by one, and then there was the counterfeit, there was the work of an individual's hands. No matter how pleasing he felt it was rejected by the Lord himself. Now, added to the presence of counterfeit religion and all of the forms and varieties that we see it in our present day is also the very harmful and the very grievous presence and sight of hypocrisy, even within the realms of the professing church. When we think of a pretend faith, we think of glimpses of false repentance. Again, however we want to word these things or describe these things, it is impossible to get away from the fact that we live in a world and within an environment where all of these things abound in one form or another. Now, I suggest that the most extreme form of this, when we see hypocrisy in its extreme form, is clear and irrefutable evidence of no conversion. I'm going to be very careful here in what I say and make it very clear that I'm not trying to make the point that in the genuine Christian's life, that when there are examples of inconsistency, that it renders such a person as not converted, because we all sin and grieve and do that which is displeasing in the eyes of the Lord. What I'm saying is that where there is an habitual demonstration of this, where this is the only feature or the character of an individual's life, then the conclusion we need to draw, and we need to make this observation very honestly before the Lord, is that there is no evidence of conversion. There is no sign of life. It's important those things are confronted and those things are understood. Our Lord Jesus Christ in Mark chapter 7 and verse 6, he quotes Isaiah on that occasion. But remember how he rebuked many people in his day, and he said that these people honoureth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I think that is a very searching and a very challenging analysis of what we are trying to think about when we come to the words of Hosea chapter 7 and verse 16, that it is possible even for the child of God to fall into this snare of drawing near to Almighty God in one form or another, honouring him with our lips, but our hearts being far from him. And again, as I've made the point, the most extreme demonstration of this is that the conclusion must be reached that such a person knows not the Lord. But when we think of believers, we think of the children of God and the struggles that we face. We also need to face up to the reality that there is often a lack within us as well. Often do we concur and join in with the hymn writer who speaks of his chief complaint being that his love, that is his love for God, is so weak and faint. But he goes on to say, yet I love and I adore, oh, for grace to love thee more. And I trust that when we listen to these podcasts and the preaching of the word, that while we all, if we are Christians and we know and love the Lord, we readily and freely confess that we're not what we should be, yet that there would be this cry that would continue to arise from our hearts, that we would say, Lord, we confess these things, we admit these things, but oh, that we would love thee more. Now, with all that in mind, I want us to come to the words of Hosea chapter 7 and verse 16, because we all confess that it is very easy to speak than it is to do. It's very easy to find fault in someone else than to live out the godly life in our own Christian life. When we look at such portions as Hosea, where we are reminded of a very dark day within the nation of the people that engulfed their hearts and their lives, that really brought about the chastening and the correction and the judgments of the Lord upon them, that we are to read these portions of Scripture and not be afraid of them, not turn to them and think, oh, what a fearful and terrible day that was, and sort of hide ourselves, but to remember that what we see back in those days, even if they were precursors to a captivity and to a chastening that would come, that they are always reminders to us. They are sirens. They are alarms to our own heart. They're always there to bring us back into a place where we search our hearts out before the Lord God Almighty. There is maybe this climate that is continually being sort of added to year after year in our present day, that any sort of critical word, any sort of evaluation of where we are spiritually is to be rejected out of hand. Listen, as long as the assessment and the evaluation is done by the eyes of the Lord through the scriptures, where the word of God searches us out and not just simply an individual that is searching us out, then it has to be a good thing. And I believe that when we apply our hearts and we look at these portions of scripture and we ask ourselves the question, what can we learn from, say, Hosea, that it might be this thing that we are drawn closer to the Lord as a result. Now remember this, when you turn to Hosea, that even though the majority of the book, the prophet there towards the end of the Old Testament scriptures, is certainly reminding the people regarding their sin, it's not all, in a sense, gloom and doom, if I can use that expression. We have at the end of Hosea and the last chapter this reminder that the call of God to his people, when he calls to them and he speaks to them through the messenger and he says, return unto me, that there is this tremendous promise which is given at the end of those few verses of that last chapter, that he would love them freely, that he would heal their backsliding. And how glad I am to share this message with you on the podcast today. But even if, like Hosea, we might confess and acknowledge that we are far from the Lord, yet there is always this glorious word that comes to us, that if there is a sincere return to him, he will love us freely and there will be the healing of our backsliding. However, such blessed times often follow a thorough work of God that the Lord is pleased to do in our hearts. And on that note, I want to think about this podcast of fake reform. And in doing this, I turn you to the very simple sentence and yet very profound assessment in verse 16, when the prophet said, and really the message of the Lord was this, through the prophet, they return, but not to the Most High, they are like a deceitful bow. I do believe that one of the things that we must learn in our present crisis in this world is that there is, in the midst of all these things, a call to return to God. Again, in Hosea, you'll find that the calls to return, they are plentiful. They are many, we might say. And in one of the darkest moments that arose within the nation of the people of Israel at this time, one of the darkest moments reminded the people that there was a shallowness. There was a shallowness and a superficial nature to their religion. All of this is given in chapter 7. In verse 2, they were reminded that they were not considering as they should. They were described as a cake not turned in verse 8. In verse 11, they were likened to a foolish or a silly dove. These were hard words. Many of us who were listening to this podcast today, if we were to be the object of these words and the audience to which this message comes, we might find certainly that we were affronted. But maybe possibly the most damning assessment of all is given there at the end in verse 16. They return, but not to the Most High. In a world that is characterized by, you know, deep fakes and fake news and pretend articles and misinformation and confusion and all manner of things, we should concern ourselves with an alarming problem which often pervades our individual life. And that is this presence of a fake or a pretend reform. Fake reform is characterized by a plausible look. Have you noticed what it says in verse 16? They return, but not to the Most High. There was this pretense, there was this impression that there was some type of return, much noise, much sound, much pretend in the way of interest. There was a lot of religion, a lot of speaking, a lot of noise that was going around. Again, a very similar picture, I think, which is true of any age in which the Christian church exists. But we have to think of our own heart. I have to think of my own heart. How often have we made out to return, in a sense? We've made out to bring ourselves back to God. But really, has it been sincere? Has it been heartfelt? Has it been total? Has it been thorough? And see, as the Lord says to his people, as he surveys them all through his prophet Hosea, he says, look, I see almost an impression created. They return. There is a sounding forth of noise. But what is this return? It's fake. It's not real. It's not true. It's not substantial. Fake reform is characterized by a plausible look. Fake reform is identified by a particular lack. Yet they return not to the Most High. They return, the Lord says, but not to the Most High. We might even say that God is saying this, that you're returning, but you're not going back to me. You're making some sort of movement, but where are you going? Is this not the problem of our age and the feature of the professing Christian church at large? There seems to be a gathering of the troops and there's much momentum, and the Lord is saying, where are you going? You're making all this noise, you're making all of these sounds, but you haven't actually returned to me. Remember the prodigal son? It was necessary that he came to himself, that he acknowledged his sin against the heavens, against God, and against his own flesh and blood. But he had to go back to his Father. Dear friend, when we were saved, that's what happened. It is back to Christ. Oh, the call of God is return to me, the Lord says. And then lastly, fake reform is illustrated by a powerless weapon. The Lord likens this great and alarming problem. They are like a deceitful bow. As a bow and arrow, it's been drawn. The tension is there. The arrow is poised. But when it fires, it is ineffectual. It's powerless. Either the bow is broken, or the arrow is bent, or the whole thing just doesn't simply work. It seems to be so good. It seems to have all the impression of strength. But in all reality, it has no power. Dear friend, is this the assessment that God is giving us today of the current state of the church? Much noise, much sound, many impressions, the appearance of strength, but it's ineffectual. It's powerless. Why? Because we haven't returned to God.